That's what happens when you get to my age. What a wonderful Saviour we have this morning, eh? That we can praise Him for all that He's done for us. I wonder if you can turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, we're going to be looking at a well-known scripture passage, I am the Good Shepherd. While you're looking that up, let me just say a word of thanks for the invitation of being able to come up and share God's word with you. I think it's been about 3 years since we have worshipped with you on a Sunday morning. 3 years, how time flies, but we're up from air and we bring the greetings of the church in air and harvest air. So it's great to be with you. It's nice to have this opportunity of sharing God's word with you. Let's just pray before we look at John 10. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity that we have of gathering around as your people around your word this morning. We thank you for the truth that we've been singing of. We thank you for Jesus, our Saviour. We thank you for all that He has done for us. We thank you, Lord, that we are your children. And we thank you for all the blessings that are ours in Christ. Father, as we would meet around your word, we pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. We thank you, Lord, that your word is living. We thank you that your word changes lives. And we ask, Lord, that you would minister to us by your Spirit this morning. So be with us now, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to just work through John 10 together. So if you keep your Bible open, it'll be helpful as we just work through the various verses. But firstly, I want you to imagine this morning that you are lost in the Cairngorm Mountains. Okay? It's pitch dark. The wind is howling. The rain is horizontal. You know that good summer Scottish weather we're all used to? You're in the middle of that. And you're in desperation. You don't know where to go. You don't know what your next step is. And suddenly you see two bright lights coming towards you. You hear two voices calling. And the first voice is a local shepherd called Archie. And Archie says, come, follow me. There'll be strong headwinds as we make our journey. There'll be possible flooding. Underfoot will be really slippery. But I know the mountain. I can get you to safety. Come, follow me. It's going to be a tough road. It's going to be a difficult night. But I'm able to deliver you. The second voice you hear is the local DJ called Tony. Now, Tony is an amateur hill walker. And Tony shouts to you, come follow me. I've got a shortcut. I know how to get you off this mountain. And by the way, I've got some snacks in my back. I've got some music that will help us in our journey. This is going to be a breeze. Come and follow me. I wonder in that situation, whose voice would you listen to? Whose voice would you listen to? See, we come to John 10, and John 10 tells us there are two types of shepherds. There is Jesus, the true shepherd, and there are many false shepherds. You see, every one of us this morning, we all have a shepherd, don't we? We're all following someone, or we're following something. And the challenge that we find in John chapter 10 is, whose voice will you listen to? What shepherd will you follow? Who will you trust your life and your eternity to? Let's read John 1 to 6. Jesus is a true shepherd. John 1 to 6. Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs in another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. Just going to focus on these first six verses initially. Jesus is the true shepherd. You see, in these first six verses, Jesus is making a contrast between himself as a true shepherd and the religious leaders as the false shepherds. These extraordinary claims we find in John 10 come after the physical and the spiritual healing of the blind man in John chapter 9. And this healing had caused great conflict between the religious leaders of the day, the blind man himself, the blind man's parents, and even the religious leaders had taken some cheap shots at Jesus. And it's into this context that Jesus reveals his true heart as the true shepherd. But he also exposes us the rottenness of the hearts of the false shepherds around. And he gives us five marks of what a true shepherd looks like in these first six verses. So follow with me. The first mark of the true shepherd is this in verse 2. The true shepherd has the rights and the authority over the sheep. Notice in verse 2, but he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. See, Jesus uses a farming picture here. In the towns and villages, the shepherds would bring their flocks and they would gather them at nighttime into the sheepfold. And there was a gatekeeper, there was a night guard, if you like, who was responsible for controlling access in and out of the sheepfold. He effectively was a door, and he would only give access to the true shepherds. Only the true shepherds had the rights and the authority to take care for the flock, to gain access to the flock. And here, right away, Jesus is identifying himself as the one who has the rights and the authority over God's people, the one who has the rights and authority over the flock. We read, don't we, in Matthew 28, where Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Jesus is the true shepherd. He has the rights and the authority over the flock. The second mark of a true shepherd we see in these verses is this. The true shepherd's voice is known and heard by his sheep. Did you notice that in verse 3? To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice. The sheep hear his voice. The shepherd's voice is heard and is known by the sheep. There's a story during World War I where some soldiers tried to steal a flock of sheep from a hillside near Jerusalem. And the sleeping shepherd woke to find his flock of sheep been driven away, and he quickly realized, there's no way I can take back these sheep by force. This is soldiers, there's no way I can do that. So the shepherd is said to have called his sheep, and the story goes on to say that as he called his sheep, the sheep began to return back to the shepherd because they knew the shepherd's voice. And I think there's a challenge there for us this morning is this. Do you know the voice of Jesus? Do you know the voice of Jesus? Do you know the voice of the true shepherd? Are you listening for his voice? Are you spending time in God's word? Are you sitting regularly under the sound of the preaching of God's word Sunday by Sunday? Are you living in community with God's people in our small groups, allowing them to speak the truth of God's word into our lives? You see, it's by reading and by hearing God's word that we will hear the voice of Jesus most clearly. If you want to hear the voice of the shepherd, tune into God's word. Read God's word. Hear God's word. Be where God's word is taught. So let me just encourage you this morning to make the reading and the hearing of God's word a priority in your life. Jesus talks about false shepherds, doesn't he? And just on a side, you know, we live in days where teaching is readily available, whether that's on podcasts, whether that's on the YouTube, or whether it's on the internet or books or whatever, and not all things are good. We need to be discerning in terms of what we allow ourselves to listen to and who we allow ourselves to listen to. So here are some questions maybe you could ask yourselves as you're listening. Is the teaching you're listening to, is it centered on Jesus? Does it make much of Jesus? Is it faithful to the whole word of God? Is it faithful to Scripture in totality? Or is it shaped by modern trends? Or is it shaped by man's opinion? Does this teaching you listen to, does it promote unity within the church? Or does it seek to divide? Are the teachers you're listening to, are they humble, are they faithful followers of Jesus? So the encouragement here is the sheep, or the shepherd's voice is heard by the sheep. Just want to encourage you to be listening for the voice of Jesus. The third mark we find of the true shepherd is he calls his sheep by name. Read with me in verse 3. The sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name. That's a fantastic truth, that the shepherd, that Jesus, calls his sheep by name. I couldn't help but look up Google. What do you call a sheep? Because shepherds apparently have nicknames for their sheep. So what do you call a sheep? Any ideas? Woolly. Woolly, that's one, yeah. That, Google says woolly, yep. Any other ideas? Barry. Bah, okay. Never came across that one, David, yeah, but okay, we'll take it. So there's a couple of ideas. Google's top five names for sheep are this: Woolly the sheep, Fluffy the sheep, Ewey the sheep, Fleecy the sheep, and the fifth one I was a wee bit unsure of, Mutt Chop. Mutt Chop the sheep. Doesn't really have a good ring to it. But the picture here that Jesus has given us is the shepherd would go to the sheepfold and would call his sheep out of the sheepfold by name. By name. And I think the encouragement we have is this. In Isaiah, God speaks to his people. Listen to this verse. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Christian, this morning, Jesus has called you by name. Your salvation is all of God. He has called you into his flock. He has called you to be his child. He has chosen you. Our salvation rests in him alone. Let that just encourage your hearts this morning, that we are known by name and the Lord has called us by name. The fourth mark of the true shepherd we find is in verse 3 again. He calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. Just like the shepherds led their sheep from the fold into the pasture land, so Jesus goes before his sheep, so Jesus leads his sheep through this life. You see, nothing happens to us by chance. Nothing happens that the Lord doesn't already know. He goes before us preparing our way. Don't we find similar language in Psalm 23? He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You know, the Lord goes before us. He leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Even in those difficult, darkest times and valleys, the Lord goes before you. The true shepherd leads you. He prepares your way. Loved ones, he leads us in those dark, difficult days. He will protect us. He will guard us. He will sustain us. And what he requires from us is to trust in him, is to lean into him, is to allow him to lead us and go before us, to trust that he will lead us in those paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Stay close to Jesus, will you? Allow him to lead you. Allow him to guide you as your shepherd. And the final mark of the true shepherd we find here is this. The true shepherd's call is obeyed. Find that in verse 4. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes before them and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Not only do the sheep hear his voice, but they follow his voice. They obey his call. As I was thinking about this morning, I wonder how obedient is your heart this morning to the call of the shepherd on your life? Are you holding back and obeying Jesus? Is there something in your life that you're not willing to surrender to him? Perhaps it's a relationship that's coming between you and Jesus. Perhaps it's a job that's monopolizing your time and it's squeezing Jesus out of the picture. You have no time for the Lord. Or perhaps it's a possession that's maybe stolen the affections of your heart. Or maybe it's a sinful habit that the Lord is asking you to put to death, but you're holding back, you're not following his call. Or maybe you're quite comfortable in life. You're happy where you're at. You don't want to give any more of your time to the Lord. Maybe you don't want to give any more of your resources to the Lord. You're comfortable, and yet he's calling you to follow him in a particular way. See a bunch of young folk. As you look to the future, young people, will you be prepared to obey the call of Jesus on your life? Are you willing to surrender your dreams, your aspirations, to live for his glory? Not so young people, including myself, will you be obedient to the call of Jesus, no matter where that call might take you, no matter how uncomfortable it might be, no matter how costly it might be? Are you willing to follow the shepherd and follow his call? Read with me, will you, verses 7 to 10. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Not only is Jesus the true shepherd, verses 1 to 6, but Jesus is the door to abundant life. Jesus is the door to abundant life, verses 7 to 10. You see, Jesus stays with this shepherding picture. When shepherds led their sheep into the pasture lands at night time, whether that be in the valleys, whether it be in the hillside, the mountainside, they would gather their sheep into a sheep pen, and very often that sheep pen didn't have a door. It didn't have a door. And the shepherd would lie across the door, or lie across the sheep pen rather, and effectively the shepherd became the door of the sheep pen. You see, nothing could come into the sheep pen unless it came through the shepherd. Nothing could come out of the sheep pen unless it came through the shepherd. The shepherd was the door. And here Jesus is seeking to teach his listeners that he is the door. And only those who enter through him can be saved, will be saved. I really want you to notice this morning that this is an exclusive claim of Jesus. He is the door. There is no other door. There is no other way. Only Jesus can save, only through Christ. Today we live in a society, don't we, where people say, you know, it doesn't really matter what your view is. It doesn't really matter what religion you follow. Ultimately, all paths lead to God. Ultimately, all paths will get us to heaven. But in John chapter 10, Jesus would say, no, I am the door. I am the only way to the Father. I am the only way to be saved. Paul reminds us this, doesn't he, in 1 Timothy 2, verse 5, for there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. On the authority of God's word this morning, let me remind you that Jesus is the door. Jesus is the only way to the Father. Look with me, will you, in terms of what is an offer for those who will come through the door? What is an offer for those who will put their trust in Jesus, who will put their faith in Jesus. What's on offer? Verse 9. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. Salvation is an offer for those who will put their faith and their trust in Jesus. You know, forgiveness of sin, peace with God, adoption into his family, eternal life. That's what's an offer, but there's more. Stick with verse 9. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. There is provision, there is pasture for those who will put their trust in Jesus. There is the provision, there's the spiritual nourishment that we need as we travel through this life. As we make our way to glory, the Lord will provide for us, he will strengthen us, he will give us everything that we need. As your days shall be, so shall your strength. But there's even more. Verse 10, I have come to give life and give it abundantly. There is abundant life on offer for those who will place their trust in Jesus. Boyce, the commentator, says this about abundant life. The abundant life is above all the contented life, in which our contentment is based upon the fact that God is equal to every emergency and able to supply all our needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Get this, abundant life isn't an especially long life. It isn't an easy, comfortable life. Abundant life is a life of satisfaction and contentment in Jesus. Don't you long for life this morning? Don't you long for this abundant life that Jesus offers you this morning? I am the door, Jesus says. Put your faith, put your trust in me, and you will be saved. You will have abundant life. But I think Jesus goes on as well, just to give us a warning. For those who will reject Jesus as the door, for those who will seek to enter in another way, the consequences, they're bleak. Look at verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus gives a warning that if we seek another way, we will lose. Steal, we will lose. We will experience death and destruction. It's a desperate situation. There is no other way but Jesus. All other ways lead to death and destruction. Eternal life is found in Jesus alone. Let me ask you this morning, have you put your trust in Jesus Christ? Have you put your faith in him? Have you entered through him? I am the door. Read with me verses 11 to 18. Not only is Jesus the true shepherd, but he is the door to abundant life. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, he who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. The wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I might take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. Just like the true shepherd, Jesus gives us some characteristics of what the good shepherd looks like. Firstly, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Verse 11. And here Jesus is pointing to the cross and how he will willingly lay down his life for the sheep. Here is the good news of the gospel. Jesus went willingly to the cross. He laid down his life that we might be brought into his flock, that we might be his children. You see, because of our sin, we are outside of the family of God. We're outside of his kingdom. We're outside of the flock. And we're destined for an eternity without God. But Jesus, the good shepherd, has laid down his life. He's taken the punishment that is rightfully ours, making it possible for us to know God's forgiveness and to become the children of God. Jesus, the good shepherd, lays down his life for the sheep. Secondly, the good shepherd will never abandon his sheep. I want you to notice the contrast we find in verse 12 and 13 between Jesus, the good shepherd, and the hired hand. As soon as a hired hand sees the wolf, he flees. He offers no protection. He's away as quick as a flash. And what is the end result? The end result is this, that the wolf snatches the sheep and scatters the sheep. It's that kind of picture again of death and destruction. But Jesus, the good shepherd, he's not a hired hand. He will never abandon his sheep. He will guard and he will protect his sheep. Christian, this morning, take heart, be encouraged. If you're feeling overwhelmed by your struggles and your trials, or if you're feeling overwhelmed by the enemy, remember this, that Jesus, the good shepherd, will never abandon his sheep. You are fastened to him. You are bound to him. You're in union with him. And nothing can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. The good shepherd will never abandon his sheep. He will sustain you. He will protect you. Even in the fiercest battles, he will continue. He will finish that good work that he has started in you, bringing you safely to glory. The good shepherd never abandons his sheep. Thirdly, the good shepherd is known by his sheep, and his sheep know him. Verse 14 speaks of that tender, that loving, caring relationship that the good shepherd has with his sheep. And that's a relationship which speaks or reflects something of the relationship between the Father and the Son. You notice that Jesus says, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. Jesus knows you intimately this morning. He knows his sheep. He knows you intimately. He knows the condition of your heart. He knows whether you're warm towards him. He knows whether you're cold towards him. He knows the struggles you're having with sin and obedience. He knows how healthy your devotional lives are. He knows your dreams. He knows your challenges. He knows your fears. He knows your anxieties. There is nothing hidden from the good shepherd. He knows his sheep. But I want you to grasp this. Not only does the good shepherd know you, but he longs for you to know him better. He knows his sheep, and his sheep know him. He longs for you to know him in a deeper way, to draw close to him and to enjoy fellowship with him. I wonder this morning, are you growing in your knowledge and of your love of Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Do you love Jesus more today than you did yesterday? more today than you did last year. The Good Shepherd longs for us to commune with him and to get to know him and to get to love him better and better. It's a real encouragement to us, isn't it, this morning, to make it a priority to commune with Jesus and his word amongst his people in prayer, to get to know our shepherd better, to love him better. Fourthly, the Good Shepherd is building his church. Read with me verse 16. And I have other sheep that are not of his fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. Jesus is announcing here to his listeners that the kingdom of God is going to extend from Israel to the Gentiles. And praise God, that is good news for us today, isn't it? Because we are considered Gentiles. And God's kingdom is accessible to us. And Jesus is reminding us that he is the true shepherd. One shepherd, one flock. One shepherd, one flock. Even in this local church here in Harvest, Glasgow, if you look around, we're all from different backgrounds, aren't we? Some of us are from different countries. And yet the Lord has brought us together in this local community, one flock and one shepherd. Let me encourage you this morning, two things. To be united as God's people under the rule of the Good Shepherd, Jesus. Be united, one flock under one shepherd. I love the membership covenant we have. And down in Ayr, when we bring members into the fellowship, we read this together. And it's a real, there's an extract here that reminds us of the unity that we are committed to. Listen to these words. As we commit together as God's people in these local churches, we commit to flee to unity over disunity, to flee to reconciliation over conflict, to speak graciously over gossip, and to remember the cross when we're tempted to be critical of one another. Be a fellowship that's united under the one shepherd, Jesus Christ. But I think the second point here is that Jesus is building his church. Isn't that great news? He's building his church. He's building his church worldwide, but he's building his church here as well, in Harvest Glasgow and in Harvest Ayr. And I wanted to encourage you this morning to be all in this building project. One flock, one shepherd. To be fully invested and fully committed to what God is doing here in Glasgow and what God is doing in Ayr. I wonder, how engaged are you in this building work? How invested are you? Ask yourselves, examine your hearts, and just let me encourage you that Jesus is inviting you to build alongside one another for his glory, building his kingdom for his glory. I love the words that Paul leaves us in Philippians 1 and 27. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or I'm absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, and here's the building part, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. Be united. Be all in the building work that Jesus is doing in this place. The last characteristic is this. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, lays down his life and takes it up again. We read that in verse 18. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord, and I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. Not only does Jesus point to his death in John 10, he points to his glorious resurrection, where he will rise victorious over sin, hell, and the grave. Praise God this morning that the tomb is empty, that Jesus is alive, that Christ has risen. Paul reminds us, doesn't he, in 1 Corinthians, that without the resurrection, our faith would be futile. We would still be lost in our sin. You see, it's the resurrection that confirms and seals the victory. Because of the resurrection of Christ, we can experience new life in Christ. All the blessings of forgiveness of sin, of eternal life, of adoption into his family, these are all secured because Christ has risen from the dead. Praise God, the tomb is empty and Jesus is alive. For those of us who are in Christ this morning, what a hope we have, don't we? Death, as ugly as it is, the grave, as ugly as it is not the end. Because Jesus has risen, we too will rise. What a hope we have. There's coming a day when we will see our Savior face to face, where we will spend all of eternity with him. But these blessings are only for those who have placed their trust in Jesus Christ, who have entered through the door. So let me encourage you again. Put your faith in Christ. I wonder how you respond this morning to these claims of Jesus. I am the true shepherd. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. You see, there is no neutral ground when it comes to the teaching of Jesus. Read with me the last three verses. Verse 19, there was again a division amongst the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, he has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? There is no neutrality when it comes to the teaching and the claims of Christ. We either will reject his claims and we'll go our own way, we'll do it on our own, or we will believe and we will surrender to his lordship in our lives. Back to that opening question. Whose voice will you follow this morning? Whose call will you follow? Will you follow the true shepherd, Jesus? Will you trust your life and your eternity to him? John chapter 10 gives us a choice. He presents to us Jesus, the true shepherd, the door to life, the good shepherd. Or follow the false shepherds, for in the end there will be destruction. Let me commend to you Jesus, the good shepherd, who came, who laid down his life, the one who will keep you, who will guard you, who will sustain you, who will provide everything that you need, and the one who will bring you safely to heaven itself. Let's just pray. Father, we just want to thank you for Jesus, the Good Shepherd. We want to thank you, Father, for his love towards us. We thank you that he willingly came and he willingly laid down his life for us. Father, I want to pray for each of us this morning, Lord, that you would challenge our hearts. Help us to see, Lord, that we have two choices. We either trust in Jesus Christ, we either surrender to his lordship, or else, Lord, we reject his claims and we go our own way. Father, may it be that we would choose Jesus, the one who gives us eternal life. We just thank you, Lord God, for our Savior this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.